you see God? Is he here? Everywhere I look, God is looking back at me. Over there, down here, and even way up there in the gallery. God is present in each and every one of us. The friend, the stranger, the family member. Each one of us made in the image of God. Each one of us precious in the eyes of God. And each one of us welcome here and welcome to come to his table to be fed and nourished. Well, good morning, everyone. I just say what an absolute delight it is to be here and to begin our ministry together here in this place. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome my friend Scott Burton, who's going to help with worship this morning, and to use that phrase, preach me in. And I should give a health warning. I gave a health warning before John spoke on Thursday night. I'm giving a health warning again. Don't believe a word he says. We began this morning with a gathering song, and it's going to be my custom to do that. And it's really just a song to settle us down and get us comfortable and ready to worship. And following on from the gathering song, there will always be a little story, I call it, the story, something to set the scene for the morning's worship. So for the gathering song, we remain seated, and it won't be announced. It'll just Emily will just play the introduction, and we'll go gently into it. Sometimes it'll be a hymn with a couple of verses, sometimes a single-versed hymn that we'll sing through two or three times, depending on the words. Your order of service has the intimations that you need for the coming week. A reminder that there's tea and coffee in the tradecraft stall through in the hall, and it'd be lovely to see as many of you through after the service as can make it. I've been given another couple of intimations. A reminder that our next Sunday evening service is next Sunday, 6 o'clock here in the church, continuing a Celtic spirituality theme of sacred spaces, springs and groves. And that the Lent portrait meetings begin on Thursday the 22nd of February, 11:30 in the Morven Room. And anybody who would like to get Janet Horley's book, The Last Awakening, speak to Margaret Robertson, who will get one for you in preparation for that. But we'll leave you to read everything else that's there in your own time. As we set out together on a new adventure, we come, each of us, welcome. Each of us is a precious part of the community of God. We come together in worship to sing our praises, to release our prayers to God, and to hear his word, and today to be honoured guests at his table. How fortunate we are. Let's stand and sing 268 in your hymn books, O God of Bethel.
Thank you. Friends, we follow in the footsteps of all those who have gone before us as we come to this place of worship on this, the Lord's Day. And as we gather here, we join with the communion of all the saints and we gather before our God in prayer. Let us pray together. Father God, we thank you for this place and for this new day. This new chapter opening up before us of a new ministry here in this parish. And we pray immediately your blessing upon Shuna in the ministry that she brings to this place. But more than that, Lord, we would pray for each and every person in this building, for the new chapter of ministry that opens up for each and every one of us. For you, Lord Jesus, are the one who has called all of us to follow you. And so today we take yet another step along life's journey. And we promise you, Lord, that we will do our best as members of this church to follow you, to honor you, to serve you. We adore you, Lord, for all the blessings that you pour upon us throughout our lives, the gifts of love and family and friendship and faith. We give you thanks for our faith itself, the scriptures that speak to us, your Spirit who moves amongst us, and your love that's shown through Jesus Christ our Lord. Might it be in this place, in this time, on this day, on this new chapter, we will sense that you are here to guide us and to take us forward. We confess our need of you and we confess our wrongdoing and how time and time and time again on this journey we stumble and fall. Yet we stand up again, we dust ourselves down, and you pour your Spirit upon us to guide us onwards again. So take us, Lord, today as we come to worship you and praise you and honour you. Come as we pray this prayer in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for your glory's sake, now and evermore. Amen.
We all have lots in common. We're all here this morning to begin with. We've all come to worship God and to celebrate the Holy Meal of Communion. But as individuals, we will all have lots in common with each other. And Scott and I have lots in common. And what's in this box is one of them. Can anybody guess what might be in this box? Do you have any idea what might be in the box? No? Do you want to come and have a look? Well, I open it up and show you. This is Scott's one, but I have one as well. Let's see. You want to come and have a look? Now, what do you think this is called? He hasn't been practicing very much. These valves are a bit sticky. If it's any consolation, when I take mine out of its box tonight to go to band practice, I'm going to have to oil my valves as well. But this is called a flugelhorn. A flugelhorn. And it's like a trumpet or a cornet, but it's got a slightly different shape to it. And I think we would agree a much nicer sound, a much more mellow sound than a cornet or a trumpet. So Scott and I have got that in common. And we discovered, actually, there's quite a few brass players as ministers, aren't there? Yeah, there's quite a number of brass players out there. So, so we've got that in common. But one of the things that comes back to me time and time again is that we all live under the same sky. And it's a phrase I've used a lot over the last few years, because one of the things about the world just now that really concerns me is the plight of the refugees, particularly refugees from Syria. And a phrase that I read somewhere in relation to that was that we can sometimes see people as other than us, that they're way over there and we've got nothing in common with them. But if we look up, we're all under the same sky. And so I brought something with me today to show you that is a little illustration of that. This is a little doll. Do you see my little doll? It's just a tiny little doll. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that pretty? Yeah. And on the doll, there's some pictures of some fish. Now, this doll was made by a Syrian lady living in a refugee camp in the Lebanon. And the pictures that are on all the different dolls that these ladies make reflect stories relating to children from Syria. And this doll's got a little card that comes with it to say something about the person who helped design this doll. And it says here, "I am Falak. My house and the house of my married daughters have been destroyed by the war. We all live together with my grandkids in a small house with no furniture. My older sons have all travelled to Europe by sea. Every time we speak about maybe following them one day, my youngest daughter, Amal, who is 7 years old, tells me she is scared of the sea and the big fish that live in it." And if you look closely, there's little fish on there, isn't there? So that's the fish, maybe, that little Amal is actually worried about. I thought these little dolls were wonderful because the project that makes them pay the Syrian ladies in the camps to make them, and then the money that's raised, some of it goes back to the family whose story that doll belongs to. And I thought that was a wonderful way of showing how much we care. So a reminder to us who have the dolls, and I'm lucky to have this doll, but this tells the story of a family somewhere else in the world who maybe don't live in quite such a beautiful and peaceful part of the world at the moment, but that we all live under that same sky. And that's, I think, something I would want us all to take away from today, is just how much we all have in common, whether it's because we're sat here just now or because whether we share the earth and we share the same sky. Do you like to take that away with you? Do you have a look, a closer look at it when you're through in Sunday school? That'd be all right. And I'll put Scott's flugelhorn away before it gets knocked over. I'll pop it there. And we are going to sing again, and our hymn this time is 544, "When I Needed a Neighbour."
Where you there? Where you there? Where I needed a shelter? Where you there? The first lesson is from Leviticus, chapter 19, reading verses 26 to 37, and this can be found on page 119 in the Pew Bible. Let us listen for the word of God. Do not eat any meat with blood still in it. Do not practice any kind of magic. Do not cut the hair on the sides of your head or trim your beard or tattoo yourselves or cut gashes in your body to mourn for the dead. I am the Lord. Do not disgrace your daughters by making them temple prostitutes. If you do, you will turn to other gods, and the land will be full of immorality. Keep the Sabbath and honor the place where I am worshipped. I am the Lord. Do not go for advice to people who consult the spirits of the dead. If you do, you will be ritually unclean. I am the Lord your God. Show respect for old people and honor them. Reverently obey me. I am the Lord. Do not ill-treat foreigners who are living in your land. Treat them as you would a fellow Israelite, and love them as you love yourselves. Remember that you were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Do not cheat anyone by using false measures of length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales, honest weights, and honest measures. I am the Lord your God, and I brought you out of Egypt. Obey all my laws and commands. I am the Lord. The second lesson is from Luke chapter 10, reading verses 29 to 37. And this is on page 91 of the Pew Bible. But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, and when he saw the man, he walked on by the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came along and went over and looked at the man and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he told the innkeeper, 'and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him.' And Jesus concluded, 'In your opinion, which one of these three acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers?' The teacher of the law answered, 'The one who was kind to him.' Jesus replied, 'You go then and do the same.' Amen. Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word."
Thank you, Irene. We sing again our hymn 694, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You."
Behind the race to let you be.
Well, friends, I hope that very much will be a kind of theme song for you in this new chapter of life that you find yourself within here in Cults Parish Church. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. You have called a new minister, and Shuna will do a fantastic job of seeking to minister in this parish, but she will also be looking to you to minister to one another. And so, Shuna, I've not asked your permission to do this, but I'm going to ask you now to just turn to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and introduce yourself to each other. Say your name and say welcome to worship and just welcome each other here. Let's turn to each other, shall we? I have a hunch, you see. I have a hunch that if Cults Parish Church is anything like my own church down in Perth, then actually you've been coming to church for years, but there's all sorts of people whose names you still don't know. And so I hope you've maybe got to know some other names. Shuna's going to have that very demanding task. You all know her, but she is going to struggle to get to know all of you. So please do indeed share your name with Shuna for the next 6 months. Okay, not just the next 6 days, in the next 6 months, share your name so that slowly but surely Shuna gets to know you as your parish minister. I want to say this morning a massive thank you to Shuna for inviting me to preach this morning. This is the first time in 18 years as a minister I've been asked to preach someone in, and so I really count it a really big privilege indeed. To be honest, I'm not quite sure where we met. I can remember meeting you in a cafe in George Street in Edinburgh with Jane Dennison a long, long time ago, and I suspect that's maybe when we first met. But Shuna, as she was saying earlier on, we share a lot in common. Of course, we are both ministers in the Church of Scotland. Of course, we have lots of experience of growing up in the Kirk. We both play brass instruments. But what Shuna didn't share with you was that, in fact, she is minister here where Ewan Gilchrist has just left, and I am minister of St. Matthew's in Perth where Ewan Gilchrist left last time. So what you have here is the current minister of St. Matthew's Church coming from Perth to Cults as the former minister of St. Matthew's leaves Cults to go to Perth. Okay? Or let me put it another way. The current minister of Cults, and I have to read this out because I've no way I'd remember all this. The current minister of Cults is welcoming the current minister of St. Matthew's on this occasion when the former minister of Cults and the former minister of St. Matthew's is no longer the current minister of either. So let me tell you a little story from my experience, Shuna, of moving on from my last parish in Kelty in West Fife to St. Matthew's in Perth. The fact is that Ewan Gilchrist had been minister of St. Matthew's for some 18 years. And when I arrived, the congregation were pretty much grieving his loss because they had loved him. And I'm guessing that many of you love Ewan Gilchrist and will be grieving the fact that he has moved on from this parish after all the years that he's been here. In year one at St. Matthew's, people were heard to say, he's no quite the same, is he? And I wasn't the same at all in many respects from Ewan. But in year one, people gave me the benefit of the doubt and they put up with me that 12 months. Year two, when I hadn't really changed terribly much and still was acting like Scott Burton rather than Ewan Gilchrist, some people began to say, nah, he's not for us. And they did begin to move on and go in different directions. Year three, people had by that time made a commitment to say, this is the minister we've called, we're going to support this person. And for the last years since then, right up to now, people have indeed supported my ministry as I've sought to support the congregation. And together we've moved on, and I'm delighted to say we have a very healthy, strong congregation moving in all sorts of positive directions. I say all this because Shuna can't. Shuna wants to be your minister, and she wants to be Shuna Dix. Things have changed. Things will change, and I pray that you will support your new minister in year one, year two, year three, all the way up to her retirement. Let's see how long Shuna stays in this parish. We never know what is coming ahead of us all. However, I'm not here just to speak about Shuna and Ewan Gilchrist and Scott Burton. I'm here to preach. And so to the preaching I must turn. What about the Bible readings that Irene read for us this morning? Well, we've actually got a whole lot to get through today, and I know we've got communion as well, so I better pretty much get on with it. Leviticus 19, to start with, has an awful, awful lot in it. I chose to begin the passage at verse 26 rather than start from the beginning, because there's a whole lot of do's and don'ts from verse 1 that we would have to take all sorts of time to go through. There were some don'ts that we all would understand very naturally. Verse 11 that we didn't read says, do not steal, do not lie, do not rob your neighbor. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? We can all agree with that. But then there are verses that might cause the majority of us to scratch our heads. Like verse 14, do not curse the deaf. Pardon? I'm saying, do not curse the deaf. Don't know what that particular verse is about. And then there's the verse 19 that says, do not wear clothing woven from two kinds of material. And I realize my suit is a 50-50 poly wool mix. Oops. But forget all that for the moment. These are verses we could look at if we were to study this text in depth this morning. But let's look at verse 26 where I started the reading today. It says, do not eat black pudding. Does, you know. Or verse 27, gentlemen, do not trim your sideburns. Or verse 28, do not make an appointment at your local tattoo artists. These are all the verses that, again, we could look at. What are we to make of them all? Again, there are verses that are patently obvious as well. Like, do not sell your daughter into the sex trade, verse 29. Show respect to the old people, verse 32. And don't cheat others by shortchanging them or conning them out of their rightful pay, verse 35. But then we come to verses 34 and 34. What are we to make of such texts when Mr. Trump in the United States of America is talking of building walls and sending immigrants back to their country of origin? What are we to make of verses 33 and 34 when we live in a post-Brexit referendum United Kingdom where there's much discussion about new rules and tests for people coming from abroad to work in our NHS or to study in our universities and colleges or to work upon our building sites? When the foreigner resides amongst you in your land, do not ill-treat them. The former residing amongst you must be treated as your native-born. Love them as yourself. For you were once foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. What are we to make of this, friends? Is this clear, straightforward teaching from the scriptures, or is it the kind of variety of Bible text that causes us to scratch our head and wonder, what is that all about? Well, for this Perth preacher, it's pretty straightforward, less than complicated stuff. For if we would like ourselves to be respected, should we find ourselves in the traumatic experience of being bombed out of our homes and having to flee for our lives as refugees to another country, Wouldn't we want other countries to care for us, to love us, to look out for us? Or for that matter, if we were to choose to move away from Perth or cults, sell our homes and all our possessions to live on the Costa del Sol, wouldn't we want to be treated well as the foreigners that we would be? Wait a wee minute, preacher man Burton. Who do you think you are, coming up to cults and preaching a very political message? Shouldn't these words be kept for the parliamentary buildings rather than ecclesiastical ones? Well, you might think so. Except the Bible reading is telling us we should look after those who are foreigners coming to our land. Many of those coming from Syria could be terrorists in waiting, couldn't they? Many of those coming from Poland, are they not the ones that are taking our jobs? We just don't know exactly who are these foreigners crossing our borders, living in our towns and living in our streets. And that actually all has all sorts of elements of truth in it. Immigration is indeed a complex issue. And we don't always know exactly who's who and what's what. Yet don't our Bibles teach us in Old Testament and in New to love our neighbour as ourself? To love your Aberdonian neighbour. I can't do the accent, sorry. To love your Aberdonian neighbour as you love yourself. To love your Glaswegian neighbour as you love yourself, and to love your Christian, your atheist, your agnostic neighbor as you love yourself, to love your foreign Muslim refugee neighbor as you love yourself. Friends, one of the many things I love about the woman that you've called to be your new minister is that she is so amazingly passionate about and compassionate to those who are her brothers, as she put it earlier, brothers and sisters who live underneath the same blue sky. Through no fault of many of those who have had to flee from their homes, in grave danger, fleeing from militia groups who want to force them to fight, or finding themselves incredibly vulnerable as they drop everything they have ever owned and ever known to simply evade torture and bombing and death, Shuna has said, as Christian people, we need to do what we can to love our brothers and sisters in humanity. I'd urge you to look up Shuna's work on the internet. Just Google her name and up comes story after story after story of her work with refugees and her care for people in plight. But also look up Shuna's story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 29 to 37. It's the story that we read earlier together, the story that is so familiar to all of us, the one we call the story of the Good Samaritan. The story may well not have taken place historically. There really might have been a man beaten up on the road to Jericho, but whether it's factual or fiction, whether it's just a story or history, doesn't really make any difference. Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, like so many other stories, to make a wider point about you and about me and about Shuna. It's the story of the Shunas and Scots, the Bettys and Bills, the Janes and the Jimmies, and whatever our names might be. If we saw the man lying by the side of the road, battered and robbed and dying, what would we do? Would we be the priest who passed by on the other side? Would we be the Levite who closed his eyes to the poor man's plight? Or would we be the Samaritan who bandages wounds, pours on healing ointments, and shares resources for the sake of those in desperate, desperate need. Let me tell you, Shuna Dix is no saint. She already has breached the explicit command that we were given through Irene's reading this morning in Leviticus 19:28. I'll let you look that one up for yourself. But let me tell you this. This woman who you have called to serve you here in cults is a good Samaritan. And I categorically assure you that she will encourage you to be a good Samaritan also. As it happens, she's not a foreigner in this land, as I am, as the Glaswegian that I am. She speaks your lingo about quines and loons and that local medicine you get from the Aberdonian pharmacist called Kenfetamine. You can fit, I mean. Shuna's a local lass. She's from the northeast. And she will have a heart for this parish, for the people in these seats and the people in these streets beyond these walls. But encouraged by the Lord himself, she's also got a heart full and overflowing with love for all God's children in his wider world. Your brothers and mine, my sisters and yours, those nameless people we hear about on the news, and those souls who have become mere numbers quoted at us in scaremongering statistics. You've truly picked a good one here for your new minister. A minister who will be so compassionate to you in her ministry and will urge you indeed to be local and global neighbours to each other as well. She isn't your previous pastor. Things here have changed and will go on changing. But the ministry will go on just as it has before. All of us called to be good Samaritans and good neighbours to all. People move on literally as refugees seeking a new life in foreign lands. Ministers moving on from one parish to another. And congregations moving on from one chapter to the next. This is always as it has been, and thus it shall be forever and ever. Amen. Don't try and stay standing still, folks. Follow me, says our Lord, in every generation, in every situation, and every congregation. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Amen.
The offering will now be uplifted.
Thank you.
Jordan.
The end of the weekend, we have a new one.
Lord our God, we thank you so much for all that you give to us. Day after day after day, you bless us beyond measure. And so we ask that you would take these gifts that we give to you now, that they would come not just from our bank accounts and wallets and purses, but from our hearts that are overflowing with gratitude to you. So take these gifts and use them for the building of your kingdom here on earth, as it is in heaven, now and forevermore. Amen.
Our communion hymn is 685, For Everyone Born a Place at the Table.
You wait to live.
As we gather around this table, each of us made in the image of God, and yet each of us the same but different. Tall, short, young, not so young, fit, not so fit. We're reminded that Jesus sat round a table with a group of disciples, all different. Tall, short, young, not so young, fit and not so fit. Among them, one who would betray him. And yet he shared that precious meal with this mixed group of ordinary people. And today he invites us, yes, us ordinary and broken people, to share this meal through which we will be made whole in his eyes. As we approach the table, we do so in peace and in love. And I invite you again to turn to your neighbour and share a sign of peace with them. It could be a hug or a handshake, or if you want to get even closer, a kiss on the cheek, whatever you feel most comfortable with. Peace of Christ. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he sat round the table with his friends and he shared a meal. At the beginning of the meal, he broke bread, as was his custom. And he said to his friends, "This is my body, broken for you. When you share a meal together in the future, break bread in memory of me." Later in the meal, he took some wine and told them, "This is my blood shed for you. In the future, when you gather together, share wine and remember me." And so now we do as Jesus wished. We share this meal of bread and wine, and we do it in memory of him. And as Jesus gave thanks with his friends, so do we. Let us pray. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. And with the voices in the church in heaven and on earth, we can share the angel's song, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Pour out your spirit upon the gifts of bread and the cup, and upon your daughters and sons who come to this table. We come with knees knocking, with hearts pounding, taking shallow breaths, trusting and believing that here we will find healing. Here we will be touched by your grace. Here we will hear your word of hope. Then, fed by your love and nourished by your dreams, we shall go to bring your love to our friends and neighbours, whoever and wherever they might be. We shall speak out on behalf of those of whom society has rendered voiceless. We will not be afraid to stand up straight and look injustice and cruelty in the eye and proclaim enough. Gathered with our sisters and brothers from the beginning of creation, we sit at Christ's table, joining hearts and minds and lifting our eternal praise to you, God in community, holy in one. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Body of Christ, Scott, broken for you.
Amen.
Body of Christ, Graham, broken for you. Let's come to God in prayer. Gracious God, you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and made us whole, ready afresh for your service. Help us who have shared Christ's body and received his cup to be his faithful disciples so that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom and our love be your love, reaching out into the life of the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excel. having been fed and nourished. We go from here to be good neighbours and good friends to all that we meet this week. So go with God's blessing this day and always.